Well, hey there, and welcome to another Radio Fishin'. This is Fishin' Frank, and we've got people all over the studio today. There's Andrew and Mallory and,
Barry.
So, Andrew, Mallory, and Barry. You know, once I get, I'm on the three-step rule today. By the time I've taken the first step, by the time I get to the third step, I forget what I did on the first step. So, we're doing the three-step rule with Fishin' Frank today. And we're back here on Radio Fishin', and... Mallory, hi there.
Hi.
Okay, how are you today?
I'm good. We're worn out from catching fish all week.
Yeah. You can read about Mallory on her blog, and her husband Andrew, the Tarzan of Shark World.
You have to see some of the footage of Barry from this week because he's a Tarzan in himself.
Really?
He really knows what he's doing out there.
Okay, this I'm going to have to hear, because I'm sorry, Andrew has a special place in the shark world. I mean, it's like the Godzilla, this skinny, tall guy wrestling mammoth creatures in the water. So, you know, you've got a lot to live up to, Barry.
I'm his backup squad.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you hit the buzzer on your belt. Back up.
It's been a very welcome change of pace.
Yeah.
So, nice. Okay, you guys decided to do a fishing trip the other day.
We did. We actually had some kids that were up from Tampa on their Xmas vacation. Barry joined us out on the beach. We'd taken him out previously and had not such a great day. And so we're like, come on out. We've had some good luck earlier in the week at night. And on Wednesday daytime.
Yeah, Wednesday was the day.
And so you guys just okay, we're going to go do what?
Go try to catch some big sharks and Goliath grouper.
Well, you know, that was the answer.
It was cold that day. I mean, we were all in jackets, rain gear.
No, wait a minute. I saw the picture. You were in a bikini.
That was yesterday.
Oh, that was yesterday.
Yesterday was nice. Wednesday was cold.
Cold.
But the fish liked it. Yeah. I mean, because we had how many fish? Six sharks.
In that two-hour window? Yeah, six sharks and two one Goliath.
One Goliath, Barry's big Goliath. Yeah.
So, they took you out once, it sucked, right?
Yeah, I met them at your store, Fishing Frank's, I think it was last Sunday or Monday. We started talking about sharks and how Mallory, she's like, oh, I haven't gotten a shark in a while. And I was like, I love shark fishing, we just hooked up.
Isn't it amazing when you see this little bitty thing? I mean, Mallory's, she's tiny.
Yeah,
and she looks at you, you know, I haven't caught a shark over 6 foot. You're looking at her going, really?
Mm. You know? I got this purple Avert reel and all this stuff, and I'm like, yep, it matches my highlights. And like, let's do it. Let's see how this goes. So, I met them on the beach and brought as much roe mullet as possible. I think I brought out 42 mullet one day. And we chummed as much as possible, set out all our rods. The first day, nothing. The second time we went out, it was a two-hour window of just nonstop hits. And we got six to the beach, as we said. And
so what did you start with? What was the smallest fish you caught? That's usually one you start with, isn't it? Now, these guys actually time their stuff. They start with a 100-pound Goliath, then they go to the 250, then they go to the sharks.
Wednesday was all bigger fish. I mean, the sandbars were all over 6 feet, 6-7 feet. Barry's was huge. Was that the only male of the day, Barry's? One of two males, and this fish was just stocky. I mean, you could see by the picture, I have this great picture of him, and the waves hitting perfect, you can see her face, and he's kind of lifting up the tail, and you could just see how tough this shark was. I mean, that male sandbar was the biggest of the day, and that was the first that we hooked up on. So we started with biggest.
Okay. Well, you know, I never know what you guys are going to do, whether you're going to switch around or what's going to happen. So your biggest shark was the first one of the day. Your first time shark fishing on the beach like that, or
that's my only second time ever.
The second time ever. Mm-hmm. So, what was it like when you're actually sitting there and you start, you know, hearing that?
That's exactly how it sounded.
it just makes your heart pump, doesn't it?
It makes your heart pump, especially because the first time we went out, we sat there for 6 hours and that didn't happen. So when the clicker started going off, it was like, "Is this really happening?" For finally, so it was like, "This, yeah." So just grabbed the rod and.
Now, Andrew, this guy, he's usually... Andrew, what happens when a rod goes off? I mean, because you're doing the Chinese fire drill. Excuse the, you know, imperfection, you know, non... I don't know. I'm just not correct. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, our standard deal is, especially when we have newer guys out, we go down there. When we first get down, we get them fitted for the harness, and we go, you know, here's what's going to happen. here's the pace we're going to set, and you're going to get into the harness all calm. And the rod goes off, and none of that stuff happens. Of course, everybody just loses their mind.
We're just like, hook the fish. Set hook on the fish. Okay, is he on there? Now we'll get you suited up, and yeah, we're ready to go.
You're trying to
backwards.
Hold the rod and everything else, and then he's trying to put the harness on and the belts.
Because fishing from land is way more difficult than fishing from a boat. I guess so many people come in and say, oh, we're just going off the beach, and we're going to do this or that. I say, but you need twice the size tackle I do. When I'm in the boat, I start the boat up, run after the fish. You cannot put a key in the beach and start the beach up follow the fish. I mean, it makes everything tougher. Bigger tackle, more line. Everything's got to be much more. You got to be way better to do it from land than you do out of a boat.
Exactly. It makes it more satisfying when you get that huge catch from the beach. And the best part of the day, Barry has his Goliath that he waited all day for. It was the last fish of the day. And as he's in the water holding this Goliath, there are boats going by taking his picture. Barry had a better day than everybody on the boats.
And poor Barry, all he wanted was as strange as it sounds to the rest of you out there, he wanted a picture of kissing that big, ugly, slimy Goliath grouper. And as soon as he teed it up for that shot, that thing decided it was done and it was going home and
right
almost
between
took
it
him with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it left between my legs. That's exactly how she left. I mean, swam right between them and just...
Did you have any idea the size of teeth in that fish's mouth?
I have my left thumb scraped up because I tried to lip it. I don't know why. I tried to lip it like a snook or something. I
know. You're putting your fish in a Goliath grouper's mouth?
Yeah, well, over 150 pounds. Yeah. You're just instinct. I'm just lipping snook.
Don't do it when you go shark fishing.
I'd like to add that he was warned.
Yeah.
Tell him not to do that.
I was going to say, Andrew, you're sitting there and you're watching this guy stick his fingers in the mouth of the... How big was the grouper?
He was at least 150, 200.
Yeah, 150, 200 pound fish. You got to be thinking to yourself, this guy really doesn't like that thumb.
Yeah, all I was waiting was to hear that big trash can slam shut. And speaking from experience, it feels like someone hit your hand with a ball peen hammer with teeth.
Yeah, because that's dangerous. So you're sitting there, you give the fish a kiss, you make it through that, but obviously you're not a good kisser.
I never made it to the kiss, Frank. I tried to, but I just could not control her. She would every time I would get close, she would turn her head.
Just nothing happened.
That same thing happens in real life too. That's another radio show.
I tried telling him no means no.
We'll get his picture next week. We plan on going out. I plan on dragging Andrew out during this cold front if the winds cooperate early this week before Christmas.
Then you want east wind, west wind, north wind, south wind?
The more miserable it is for us to kayak,
the better the
fishing is. So I guess
if you
want to be wet and cold, you want that northeast.
Yeah.
Stronger out of the east than anything.
I don't like to be cold on the beach.
Or southeast, I'm sorry.
No, we know you're a bikini girl. You like to, you know, lay in the sun and do all that. You don't
want
to.
But if we're catching fish, you know, I don't mind.
Yeah. I've seen you out there all bundled up with four layers on.
Exactly.
And she gets all these layers of clothes on. She's got all this warm stuff on. And then she runs in the water with the fish.
I have a bathing suit on under it. Sometimes I remember
to take off your warm clothes.
Exactly. Sometimes. Otherwise, I get the tunnel vision. And it's just get the fish.
How do you do this, Andrew?
It's good luck. You can ask Barry when we had that amazing night. I told all the guys because it was slow when we first got down there. I put my clothes dried, I put my sweatpants, my socks on, and my sweatshirt. I said, all right, boys, I'm warm, I'm dry.
Here we go.
About to go down, and 30 seconds later, the rods went off, and I never got to
Barry, and we had split out the bloodstream chum, and I was like, listen, I turned around, and I'm like, if we don't get a run by 11 o'clock, we're going to drop this chum. And as I'm pointing my finger and saying this, there goes the rod.
Yeah, I'm looking at Mallory's direction, and there's a rod.
He's
right
pointing.
There's
He's
a
like,
rod right behind her, and I just start seeing the rod start, you know, bouncing a little bit. I'm like, look, there you go, and she didn't have to complete her sentence, and it went off. So
did you have any doubles?
It's hard to say.
Sunday night, we had me and Mallory landed doubles, and we were out there alone with only Aiden.
So that was hectic.
Yeah.
Get your fish, get it unhooked. Now let's get my fish. I mean, they're protected. We need to make sure they get back in the water and swim away as fast as possible. Yesterday, we bent our tagging device trying to tag a sandbar at 90-degree angle.
solid had to send, steel needle.
We had to send for a new one.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how many sharks we've tagged in the last week.
I just got done saying, you know, because Robert asked me if that ever happened because their skin's so thick. And I said, you know what? I've never had a problem with it. And I didn't even smash it that hard, you know, because I don't stab them. I push it in, and it folded the, you know, the blade over on the thing, and it bent the needle at a perfect 90.
Oh,
I
man.
I just couldn't even believe it.
So
I didn't even get to tag it.
So, wore it out.
Yeah, when everybody's listening, these sharks are actually caught and released. It's part of the tagging program for the sharks. And so these they get to play with them, and Barry here gets to try and French kiss with them. And you know, but they get tagged, released, and there's a lot of research and everything going on. And, you know, let's face it, it's got to be interesting for the shark. I don't know. If I was going along, walking along, and all of a sudden an alien ship came down, beamed
that's
me up,
what I always
took
think
me
about.
Away, you know,
it's
did
like
that,
an alien
dropped me
abduction.
Back off.
We're probing them, we're measuring them, and then we send them back.
I am not probing.
You're tagging
we
them.
We don't know what Mallory does in the privacy of her own wave. Yes, but, you know, all the probing goes on. No, that's okay. But the shark fishing is pretty hot out Boca Grande right now, isn't it?
It is, yeah. The side beaches as well. The sandbars are migrating from colder waters down south, following the mullet. Once the mullet are gone, they'll be gone.
How long do you think it's going to last? Another week or so, hopefully?
Hopefully.
Hopefully you get another week out of this.
They seem to really like the colder weather. I mean, the warmer days have really been slow. The nights have been really hot.
So get out there in the evening when the water chills off. They come in real close to shore, and watch out for walking lemon sharks.
he made another appearance.
He
I don't
did.
Remember if I told you or not.
No.
I was telling all the guys the first night we took the other two guys out, and everybody looked at me like I was just making it up. You always hear people saying, oh,
right.
Yeah, there's a shark in the surf. And I'm getting ready to go out in the kayak, and they go, what the hell is that? Pointing down the beach, and about 50 yards down the beach.
There she is.
I kid you not, in the same amount of water, waddling like you said, wallowing in the surf. There's
this
that
one is
shark.
Learning to walk.
Yeah.
It is.
We're going to call this the dog lemon.
She's smart, though. I mean, she's staying away from us. And, I mean, the time I tried to hook her, she had the bait. And Andrew's up in the kayak coming back. And I have her. I'm like, I think I got her. And she stole my mullet, actually, and took off.
So she's smart.
She's
tricky
smart
and smart. So
I
if you're on
lemons.
Gasparilla Island
look
in the evenings,
lemon.
In the early, in at night, keep an eye up and down the beach. There's a lemon shark walking the shore.
In ankle deep water, literally ankle deep.
This is the craziest lemon. Thing I've ever heard of. It was like, you know, the myth about the, we had a sea monster down by Naples. And this sea monster kept appearing all over the place, South Fort Myers, Naples. I'm hearing Estero Bay and all this. And Robert comes up and goes, oh, well, that's an oarfish. I'm like, I wanted the sea monster. You know what I mean? I don't need to know that it's an oarfish. Yes, this is a real fish. It's an oarfish. It's 30, 40 feet long, and it lives out there in the Gulf, and it comes up every once in a while. I didn't need to know that. Now we have, you know, our marauding, shoreline-walking lemon shark.
And I am not crazy. I have witnesses now. Thank
yep.
you very much, everybody.
I'll yep. get her.
So, anyway. Do you have family up north you want to wish Merry Christmas to?
Andrew's
absolutely.
Parents, yeah.
My mom, Sally, my dad, Steve, and my sister, Sarah. We'll see you guys in 3 weeks.
A couple
they'll
weeks,
be down
yep.
to visit. And
where are they?
We'll be coming in. Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay. And
my family is in West Palm Beach. Mom and Dad enjoying the Florida sun. Merry Christmas. Merry. Brother and sister, Ryan and Shauna.
And Barry, have anybody want to say Merry Christmas to?
Yeah, just like Goliath Grouper, I'm going to come back and finally lay that sandwich on you.
you're bound and determined to have a relationship with this grouper.
Oh right? Yeah,
I want to forward that relationship.
She's just playing hard to get.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, girls are like that. You know, you keep working at Barry. You'll get there. No, seriously. Any family up north anywhere you want to say Merry Christmas?
All families here in Punta Gorda. So,
well, wish them Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, family.
There you go. And anyway, this is Fish and Frank. And another radio fishing is about to end. And just wanted to say thank you to Mallory, Andrew, and Barry. And what an extraordinary event. And what a great place to live. You guys get to go out and do this. Like,
I love it.
It's 20 minutes from here. Having a good time. And Merry Christmas to everybody. I wish you all the best. And we'll see you on the next radio fishing.